Rip City. It's been far too long, but we are back. I'm sure you guys can accept the fact that it's been a rough couple weeks watching the Blazers. I'm sure not many of you have really even kept up with watching the Blazers. So we felt like doing a podcast every week kind of was a little overkill at the moment. You know, if the Blazers don't want to go to work, why should we, right? I got Fawad here with me. So Fawad, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I think we took a month off, but we're back. But yeah, like you said, we didn't want to just keep being negative every single episode, so we just took some time off instead.
Yeah, and with the, you know, the playoffs coming, and obviously, you know, we're just barely missing the playoffs. with the playoffs coming, we're probably not going to be doing an episode every week, but we do have plans to still do episodes during the off season. We kind of want to try to do a couple listener episodes as well. So if you want to come in and talk about, you know, your thoughts on the season, your thoughts on next season, you know, anything you want to talk about, you know, we might do a couple, just, you know, one or two people ones, and maybe even just one big one with a bunch of people if, you know, we get enough interest. But for right now, I think the plan is just to kind of not pump one out every week, but, you know, try to do one every other week or close to that, and then just, you know, see where it goes and see what happens. And, you know, obviously if crazy news happens, you know, we'll be here to break the breaking news already that's been broken. But let's talk a little bit about what we've missed the last couple weeks. What we've missed is winning basketball, I'll tell you that. There has not been very much of it. And actually, before I even get going, I just noticed the score to the Milwaukee game is pretty crazy. 140 to 128. That's a high scoring game. Yeah, it's been ugly. If you've been watching, you're a true Blazer fan. I can honestly admit I haven't watched every game. I've now more than ever, I've watched like half games. It's, you know, dad life, work life, Blazers sucking. It's like they've kind of dropped on my priority list. So I can honestly say I have not watched a lot. And the little bits that I have watched have not been good. They've been short little bursts. What about you, Fawad?
Yeah, I am in a similar boat. It's been a rough year. It's definitely been worse than last year.
I agree.
You know, honestly, all season, or not all season, but like the last few months, I was a little bit on and off. I was only watching about one or two games a week. Since the last podcast, I've probably watched one or two games total. And again, like half games, not even the entire games. It's just not been fun to watch. And I never thought, you know, I always thought even if we were bad, I would still keep watching. But I haven't, you know, been able to do so. And part of that has been, you know, I started working a few months ago, so that made me a lot busier than I expected. But it's just, you know, even like last week, I've been completely free and I have no motivation to watch a team that has like three players that are actually, you know, on our roster, and the rest are just 10-day leagues. Like, sure, it would have been nice to see Sharp a little bit more than I did, but the rest, you know, the rest of the players, they're meaningless to me. I might as well be watching a G League game. So that's where I've been at.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to invest our time in a team that clearly isn't at this point trying to win games, and at this point, they need to lose every single game.
Yeah, they almost won today, and that would have been like, that could have potentially been really bad for the, you know, the tankathon.
So, for those of you who didn't know, last night we set a record for the I think we were 19.5 point underdogs, and we ended up winning on Sunday. So that set the record for the biggest underdog win, I think.
Against the spread, I think it was the biggest.
Yeah. And, you know, it's good old Minnesota blowing it. They're just destroying them themselves. But, yeah, tonight again, we're playing Memphis, who's the best home team in the NBA. And here we are with, you know, at one point we're winning. And was it the fourth quarter? I think so. Yeah, I think so. And if you guys were not watching, because I was watching a little bit of it, we were playing so well and being so competitive with them that they actually benched Sharp for the last at least probably 7 minutes, if not more, because it was so competitive still. And that just goes to show you that, I mean, they're still NBA players. They're still good players. But, yeah, losing every game is the most important right now. Staying in that. We can't get any better than the fifth best odds in the draft. There's no way we can pass Charlotte on the fourth. And but there's definitely a way we can drop if we win games. So every win now hurts us. And every loss only, you know, it just betters us to establish that fifth pick with a 10.5% chance of, you know, getting the first overall pick. And I know we talked about this last year when we had the seventh pick. I mean, we had worse odds when we got the first pick then. So, I mean, anything's possible. 10.5% chance, you know, the first three teams get a 14% chance. So, I mean, honestly, we're not that far behind them. But you brought up something. You brought up Sharp. You said, you know, there's not very many players on our team anymore that are, you know, what you would consider NBA players. And you're right. You're right.
Not even NBA players, just Blazers. Like,
true. So many. You know what? That's a good point. Yeah, it's ugly, guys. It's ugly. If you have not been watching, just know it's ugly and you're not missing out. So, but one thing we want to talk about is Sharp. You know, this is the first time we've really got to watch Sharp kind of be the focal point and get a real run at things. And obviously, you know, he now becomes the best player on the team. Yeah, I mean, he's at this point, he's the best player, but, you know, on the team playing currently. And he's played pretty damn well. I mean, he's defensively, there's times when you see there's some, you know, there's some lacks in it. But I mean, there was one game, I think he had 4 steals. I mean, he's playing his last 10 games here. Let me get this out here. His last 10 games, he's played 31 minutes. He's shooting almost 48%. 42% from three. He's averaging almost 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and almost 20 points. So, I mean, he's playing. Obviously, he's getting the ball a lot more than he's used to. But that also means he's also getting a lot more focused defensively too. So, what's your thoughts? How do you feel Sharp has done in the last couple weeks with him being kind of the main guy?
He's been a lot better than I expected. You know, I think everyone thought this entire year would be pretty rough for him. But, you know, even throughout the season, he'd been playing better than we expected. And as, you know, as the focal point for him to have, what was it, 3 games of 27, 25 or something like that?
25,
Yeah, I was blown away. I did not expect that at all. And, you know, a couple of these teams have been good. And even if they weren't good teams, we're still playing, like, NBA players. And he's a 19-year-old kid holding his own, more than holding his own against them. So that was a really good sign. Very happy to see that. It bodes well for the future. It also, both as, you know, potentially as a player for us and as a trade chip in the offseason. Mm-hmm. You know, it's on the table. But, yeah, I've been very happy with what I've seen. He's been way ahead of, I guess, you know, the schedule I had him on in my head. Yeah, that's, you know, that's about it. I didn't see most of the games. I think I saw today's, and I saw the highlights of another one. So that's 2 out of, like, the last, what, 10 games he said he's been really good.
Yeah.
So his numbers look great, and from what I've seen, he played really good as well. He's taking a lot of shots that, you know, most rookies probably wouldn't hit. So that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
he has, you know, the it factor, if you want to call it that. So that's just, let's hope it turns into something special. You know, the player development isn't always linear. So
yeah,
don't expect him to turn into a superstar just because of these last few games, but it's definitely a good sign.
Yeah, well, I mean, so the last eight games, here's just a couple last of the last eight games. He's had 24 points, 24 points, 29 points, 30 points, 27 points, 27 points, and then tonight he had 20. I mean, offensively, we know he's gifted. I mean, everyone knew how athletically gifted he was. We've had some pretty awesome dunks we've got to witness this year. But no, like you said, he's making shots that a lot of rookies don't normally take or make. And that's encouraging to see. He's, you know, he's 6'5", 6'6", whatever it is. He's long. He's the type of player that you draft and can be a, you know, maybe not. I mean, he could be a cornerstone player. I don't know if he can go that high, but he definitely has the tools to be able to do that. You look at his season overall and the numbers aren't going to be like, you're not going to be like, oh my, yeah, he's had a great rookie season, but he honestly has had a good rookie season. I mean, from what he's been allowed to do with us, he's had a very good rookie season. And, you know, who knows if he had gone to, you know, Houston or something that had a, you know, a bad team, he very well could be up there, you know, in that rookie of the year conversation with the way he's been playing as of late. I mean, if that's how he started out the year and continued to grow on it, he very well could be in that rookie of the year conversation. And that's something we all knew when we drafted him. You know, some of us, including me, were not happy that we picked him because we thought we should have traded that pick. But we also could accept the fact that, yeah, he's unknown and we don't know things, but he definitely could have a huge ceiling and, you know, be something special. And, you know, this year it's been good to see. My worries and concerns with him are, I'm not the same concerns and worries I had at the beginning of the year are no longer something I'm worried about. He's done very good this year. And like you said, it's the way he's been playing here towards the end of the season is it's not only good just for him and for us as a Blazers team, but if we decide to trade him, and I've been on record as saying I am totally for it if it's for the right pieces, it only helps raise his trade price too. I mean, he's a young guy that looks like he can be a very good player, so that's going to put some more eyes on him and we'll see what we can do. I kind of am getting a little bit of flashbacks of him. Remember when Simons, I think it was Simons' rookie year, that last game against Sacramento, I think, or something like that, had like 30 or something like that, or 40 points. Yeah. So I'm kind of getting a little flashbacks of that where Sharp's kind of starting to go off here towards the end. But yeah, I mean, we already said it once, losing every game at this point is the best thing. What's crazy is we've had Dame for more this year than we did last year, and we're in a worse spot this year than we were last year, which is, I mean, I guess not crazy because we also had CJ, but, and, or no, wait, we had, yeah, we had CJ last year, sorry.
It's been a long year.
Yeah, it's been a long year. But yeah, I mean, Dame, do you think now that Dame's season, if you guys don't know this, Dame's done, he's been shut down for the rest of the year. Do you think this was his best season?
See, where I'm struggling is statistically, it's very, you know, very possible. I think at one point I did say on the podcast I think it's his best season, but you know, I feel like a couple years ago, even if his numbers weren't as good, he would be able to will us to like above 500 season, and yep. that didn't happen this year. You know, obviously it's a team sport; just not the one player is not going to be able to do it. But I still think it's very close, but I think it's his probably second best season.
Yeah, I think if he had the team, you know, 2-3 years ago that he had, and he was playing this way now, oh my lord! I mean, he would definitely be in the MVP consideration. I mean, he was playing crazy. I mean, he was at one point in MVP consideration with how crazy he was playing, and we were sucking still.
Yeah, and one more thing why it's not his best is, you know, he still has his range, that Logo Lillard range, but there was a season, I want to say it was 2019, I'm not 100% sure, but like until like February or March, literally half of his 3 points were beyond 27 feet. So, and he was taking like 30 feet shots regularly. So that just felt a little like crazier. I think it's less often now, even though he's probably still got the most range in the NBA. But like seeing those was just insane almost every game that season. So that was a little bit just, you know, it's not numbers, but it just felt, you felt his presence like, mm-hmm. a lot more. Like you're
well, and one other thing that we did not see at all this year is a game winner by him.
Oh, wow. All year?
Yeah. We never had a game winner from him.
At the start of the season, we had a, like a few, but I don't think any of them were Dame, right?
It was Jeremy Grant was, Simons was.
Simons, and there was
Grant what, twice, Nurk? Simons, and then I Nurk think
had it a was dagger Nurk. Three or something like that.
Yep. I think Nurk hit a game winner or something. Somebody did, and it wasn't Dame.
Yeah.
Yeah, we never had a game winner by Dame, and honestly, it almost felt more like a lot of close games. Dame, I still think he's one of, if not the most clutch players in the NBA. Sure. But I feel like this year there was some games where I think we lost games because of him trying to do too much at times. And then I think as the year went on, he kind of stopped forcing it as much. And that's, I think, another reason why we didn't see, you know, these game winners. I don't know.
Early in the season, I think he, like, I don't know what was happening, but he was losing the ball a lot in the clutch time. Mm-hmm. He was turning it over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he might have been missing shots too. I don't remember that, but what stuck out for me was he was turning it over, and a lot of the times it was unforced, which was very rare to see.
Yep.
But yeah, he's still definitely one of the clutchest players in the league.
So yeah, for those of you that haven't been paying attention, let me just you guys are gonna laugh at this. Let me just let you know what we were looking at as of late. So here's who played tonight, and tell me how many of these names you recognize. Ready? We got Eubanks. We recognize that. We got Kevin Knox. Some of you guys will probably recognize that. Some of you might not. I'm gonna have to click on this guy's name. Skylar Mays. We just signed from the G League. He played, and actually, I'm going to be honest with you, Skylar Mays has been playing pretty good, and tonight he had 24 points. I mean, he's been playing pretty well.
Yeah, he played really well tonight.
Yeah, we have Sharp. You guys, we all know Sharp. I'm not sure if this is how you pronounce this guy's name, but Jonathan Williams. Couldn't tell you who that is. Justin Mignana. That's not how you say his name, but he played tonight. Jabari Walker. Butler played tonight, and I think probably tonight was Butler's best game, and it was, I mean,
Butler's a two-way, right? Or is he a
two-way? Yes. Okay. I think he's the two-way. He's that 7'3" guy that looks like a stick. And then Shaquille Harrison, he played tonight.
I recognize
that. Trendon Watford and Cam Reddish did not play tonight. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that never heard of, and that's what we're running with. So, these games have been ugly. The season's been ugly, and we just need to get this nasty, disgusting taste out of our mouth and just move on with our life. We're going to, like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, we're going to do like a season in review on the next one, and then we're going to probably start touching more into the draft and free agency. But I just want to throw this out here now. In my opinion, if we do not get the first pick, I don't care if it's the second pick, the third pick, in my opinion, that pick needs to be traded. It's not none of those players. And honestly, there I could almost even see why we would not want the first pick. Because as much as I think Victor Wembanyama is going to be just absolutely insane, if they're really trying to win with Dame, I don't know if even him, you know, using that pick on him is going to help us win in the next year or two. I think he's going to be a crazy player, and I think we would be crazy to trade it, but I don't know. What do you think, Fawad? I know we said we talk about this later, but what's your thoughts?
I think like there are the concerns, especially, you know, it being Portland and drafting a center, that's not gonna end well. But yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. First pick we keep, the rest we trade. But really quickly, I want to say something earlier I forgot in this conversation, remind me. You mentioned, you know, like we talked about Sharp not being the best pick. There was never anything against Sharp as a player. It just wasn't the best pick for us because we didn't think he'd be able to contribute this early. And he's already contributed more than I expected. So if we do keep him this offseason and he gets better, like, that's, you know, that's fine. I think he's shown that he'd be able to be a rotation player. But yeah, it wasn't against him as a player. It was just against, we didn't think it was the best for the timeline of our team. Just wanted to clarify.
And if I'm being honest with you, I think this is how my priority list goes, is Damian Lillard is not anybody we're getting rid of. Like, he is the most important piece, and then probably Jeremy Grant, and then it's probably Sharp. I mean, that's how much I do think Sharp can be, you know, he can be an impactful player. I have no issue with sending Antofs, no issue sending Nurk off, although we'll get into this later, because I'm not a hater of Nurk, so we'll get into this later. There are definitely things about Nurk that is frustrating, but this is a whole topic we can get into. But I mean, to me, Sharp is our third most important piece, over Simons, over Nurk, over anybody else. I don't know if it's the same for you, but that at this point, that's how I feel.
I don't really have a third. I think it's Dame, Grant, and everyone else is expendable.
I want to make that clear. I'm fine with trading Sharp. I just, if it came down to, like, who do we keep between Sharp and Ant, to me it's Sharp.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Yep. Okay, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Well, we were talking about Victor. I always butcher his name. Victor
Wembanyama.
Wembanyama, I think. The injury concerns are there, but I think you have to go for it. If we get that number one pick, I mean, we could probably get something really good for him by trading, but...
Oh, can you imagine what we would get for trading that pick?
But he has that potential to be a generational player, and I don't think he messed that up.
Yep, no, and I agree. I think at this point, if you get the first round pick, the first pick, even if it's not going to help us win in the next 2 years...
Yeah.
How good can be, and I really do think he can be very good, it's worth it. It's, to me, that's the one pick that you use, and whatever happens, happens. I mean, it was the same with Odin, essentially. I mean, yes, Kevin Durant would have been nice.
The statement of the decade.
Yeah, but at the time, picking Greg Oden and how dominant Greg Oden was in college, with Brandon Roy, I mean, it just, we had LaMarcus Aldridge at the time too, didn't we? Yeah, we had LaMarcus Aldridge at the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, hindsight, you know, you can look back and say, oh, we should have taken Durant. But let's be honest, that pick was the right pick at the time. And had it worked out, that probably had, I know it's a lot of what ifs, but had Roy's knees not, and even if Roy's knees did go down, I mean, still, those 2-3 years that we had with Roy, where he was, you know, just unbelievable, like unbelievable, with Odin, with Aldridge, I mean, that's a serious team. So I feel the same way. You get that first pick, that's a no-brainer, you use it, but at the same time, you're probably going to get some pretty juicy offers for that first pick as well. That's going to probably be hard to say no to. And I'm honestly not even worried about the you know, injury concerns with Portland and big men. Like, yeah, it's crazy that it's happened to us, but
yeah, it's not like an actual curse that I believe.
Yeah,
it's just joke about.
It's fun to mess around with, joke about, and it's unfortunate that it's happened to us twice. But even if now I will say this, and I obviously wasn't a kid watching basketball back then, you know, when we took Bowie. That's still a puzzling pick to me. I know he was a pretty good college player, but that's still puzzling to me. I know we had Clyde Drexler, but that one hurts. That one hurts a lot, and I wasn't even alive when it happened. So, but yeah, I'm with you there. We used that first pick on Victor. It's not even a question. And it's funny because he's kind of similar, you know what I'm trying to say. I'm not going to get that word out tonight. So his build is similar to Chet a little bit. I think he's probably, he is bigger than Chet.
Yeah, he's a little bit bulkier, I'd say.
But I mean, it's still fairly close. And to me, I was like, there's no way in hell I'm touching Chet. So it's weird to me that I'm so, but also I think Victor's so much different than Chet. Like, it's not even close to me who, like, if those two guys came out at the same time, it's not even a question who I would pick between those two. Like, if you guys haven't watched Victor highlights or just watched anything about him, you guys should, because it is, that dude is something. He's a freak. He's a freak of nature. He's crazy. I don't even know how to put it into words. It's like one of those, it's like watching an alien play. Like, it's the craziest thing you've ever seen. It's just, I don't know what they feed people in France, but Gobert, I mean, he makes Gobert look tiny. Like, they're standing next yeah, to each other and he looks small. It's just crazy. Yeah, I don't even know. And he's mobile. He can shoot. He can dribble. He's like Kevin Durant, but six inches taller. It's just crazy. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No. Saving the season recap for next week, right?
Yeah, we'll do that next. We'll do that one next week and then kind of expand from there.
All right, then I guess I'll save everything for next week.
Okay. Well, it's good to be back. I missed you guys. a month I missed might talking be our with Fawad.
Longest, it might be our longest break.
I think so. And let's try not to make it a month.
Yeah.
That's a long time. So, everyone, if you're still listening, thank you for listening. And as always, Rip City, baby. Thanks to My Life Pursuing for the music used on the intros and the outros of this podcast. You can check them out on all major streaming platforms at My Life Pursuing.